always go the way we want it to. We wish it did, but it just doesn't. Things happen that aren't fair. Stresses and strains come along that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. And so what we need in those times is powerful, godly wisdom. The sort of wisdom that works. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. And today, that's what we're going to be chatting about. Godly wisdom. Powerful wisdom. Wisdom that really works. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. We know, you and I, that our days on this earth are numbered. We know that one day we're going to breathe our last breath. We know that one day our heart will stop beating, and that'll be it for our time on the earth. We know that, but mostly we behave as though we're going to live forever. Somehow we put the idea that we're going to die out of our mind, and we live mostly for today. The things of today, tomorrow, and perhaps next week are what occupy our minds. As a former soldier, I like the expression down in the weeds. It's this sense that you can't see the big picture because, well, you're down in the weeds. Having navigated through many a swamp in my days in the military, it's something I really relate to. Because when you're down there, you can't easily stick your head up and look around. So, the cares and the pressures of the world take over. And it feels as though all that matters is what's going on right now. The problems, the hurts, the conflicts, the joys, the pleasures that we have going on right now. But I believe God wants us to stick our heads up and get a sense of the big picture. Because when you take a look at the big picture of your life, it puts today into context. Maybe the things that we have going on right now aren't all there is. Maybe they're a lot smaller, a lot less significant in the bigger scheme of things. Psalm 90 verses 9 and 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we're strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. That's the truth of the matter. That's what's going to happen. So what God wants you to do today is to stand back and look at the things that are happening in your life today in context. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. What's God trying to say there? Quite simply this, count your days. They're limited. If I live to the average age for a male, which is 82, I have just 25 birthdays left. That's around 9,125 days, under 10,000 days. In one way, that's not all that many, but from another perspective, it's rather a lot. What am I going to do with the days that I have left? What are you going to do with the days that you have left? Will they count? Will the lives of the people around you be better for having known you? You start asking those sorts of questions and you're lifting your head out of the weeds. You start asking those sorts of questions and you'll develop some serious wisdom of the heart. A funny thing happens when you lift up your eyes from the day to day. I have a beautiful park near my place where I often go walking. I realized one day that I constantly had my eyes down looking at the path ahead, day after day. So I decided instead that I would look up, look around, and you know, it opened up a whole new world of beauty and joy. We tend to walk through life like that, looking down at our circumstances, looking down and seeing the problems, focusing on the here and now, don't we? At a time when Israel had spent 70 years as slaves in captivity in Babylon, at a time when all God's people could see was a lifetime of toil, God said this to them, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, "Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing." God wanted them to lift up their eyes out of their misery, out of their sense of lostness, out of their slavery, to focus on him, on his power, on what he can do for them. He goes on, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is discarded by my God? Haven't you known? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and grow weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. I wonder if perhaps today you feel faint and weary and powerless. I wonder if perhaps today you feel exhausted. If you do, then lift up your eyes and see this God who put all those stars, trillions upon trillions of stars, in their place. The God who created the whole universe, the God who wants to renew your strength so that you too will mount up with wings like eagles, so that you can run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. Lift up your eyes today and wait expectantly on God. That's what the original Hebrew word means there, to wait expectantly, hoping in him, trusting in him. Then you will be laying hold of the might and the power, the love and the compassion of God for you in your circumstances, in your life. Isn't it amazing the wisdom that God has ready and waiting for us, if only we'll look, if only we'll listen. But wait, there's more. The reality for us is that we lose sight of God amidst the busyness of life, just the day-to-day living of life, who he is and his love for us, his incredible power for us. Yeah, we all lose sight of heavenly things, the spiritual dimension. A dear friend and former business partner of mine used to say that in understanding any difficult issue, any problem in life, context is everything, almost. And he was right. If you take a scripture verse out of context, you can turn it into a lie. That's exactly what the devil did in tempting Jesus, Luke chapter 4. And he's still doing it today. If you don't take the time to understand the reasons behind a person's actions, chances are you'll completely misunderstand them. And you know, if we don't get a grip on the heavenly context, the eternal context, the spiritual context of our lives, we're going to make so many mistakes. Wisdom is about exercising good judgment. Wisdom is about taking our knowledge and experience and making good decisions. But when you leave something out, if you miss part of that picture, you can't be wise. You can't make good decisions. And that's what happens when we forget the heavenly context of our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. How much time do you spend seeking the things that are above, the heavenly things, setting your mind on the things that are above, not always on the things that are on this earth? Here's the big picture. Jesus died for you, and if you will believe in him, then your very life is tucked away in God with Christ. And one day, that life will be revealed in glory with him. Imagine just for a moment if that became the overriding reality of your life, the context for all that you see and do, for everything that happens to you. Imagine how different the world would look. Imagine the strength and the power that you would lay hold of in dealing with your trials and temptations. Imagine, just imagine, the joy and the peace that would guard your heart as each day you set your heart and mind on the things that are above. Well, stop imagining and start doing. Because the Lord your God has a whole new dimension of wisdom for your life as you set your focus on the things that are above. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Just as we take this short break, I'd like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could also pray for one or two others and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please, let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how He intervenes, how He chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. All right, let's head back into God's Word to see what else He has for us today. How much of each day do you spend investing in tomorrow? Just as with money, there are two things that we can do with our time. We can spend it or we can invest it. There's good spending and then there's wasting. It's the same with our time. We can spend our time on good things, on relationships, on work, on rest, or we can fritter it away on this and that and answering emails that we don't need to answer and endlessly scrolling through Facebook or whatever form of social media you happen to be addicted to right at the moment. So how much time do you invest on your future? Because there are things that you can do today that will protect you tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? In other words, God's wisdom is crying out to you here and now. His word is chock-a-block full of His wisdom that He wants to give freely and generously to each one of us. But all too often, we're too busy to receive it, frittering away our time as we so often do. There was a huge research project done by the Center for Bible Engagement in the US asking Christians why they didn't read their Bibles. The number one reason, it won't surprise you, is that they didn't have time. Really? Too busy? But you have time to watch the fifth rerun of your favourite sitcom on TV. Come on! There's a reason that God wants to give you His wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 28. Because I have called and you have refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me, but I will not answer. Then you will seek me diligently, but you will not find me. You see, when disaster strikes, it's too late. The time to get God's wisdom into your heart is now, while the going is good, before the turmoil strikes. It's about investing in the future. Or are you too busy? God loves you more than words can say. And like any good father, He wants to impart His powerful wisdom into your life. He knows what's coming. He knows what you need. And He has given you His word and His Holy Spirit to pour out His wisdom in abundance. And here is one of the pieces of wisdom that I believe that God wants to tuck away in your heart for when calamity strikes. Often when we're going through difficult times, God intervenes in ways that we simply don't expect. We expect a conventional intervention. He, on the other hand, steps in an unconventional way. We expect a natural intervention, but He has something supernatural in mind. And that can be so unsettling, so fearful. God wants you to be ready for the unexpected. Israel had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and it was time for God to set them free and return them to the promised land. Sure, that's what they all wanted, But when God stepped in, it wasn't what they expected. Instead of just changing the king of Babylon's heart, which would have been so much more convenient, he raised up Cyrus, the king of Persia, to take on the Babylonians in war, and ultimately it was Cyrus as the victor in that war who allowed God's people to return to the promised land. Now, we can sit back in the comfort of our armchairs and think to ourselves, well, that's fine. At least they made it home again. But put yourself in their shoes. They were slaves, completely powerless, and a war is raging around them. That's pretty scary. But before the battle begins, God speaks to his people through the prophet Isaiah. You see, God always wants to give us his wisdom before the battle begins, before the calamity strikes. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 2. Who has roused a victor from the east, summoned him to his service? He delivers up the nations to him and tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. In other words, I'm behind this calamity. I have the power to raise up kings and to cast them down. Chapter 41, verses 8 to 13. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So don't be afraid, God is saying, because I am on your side. Do you see how important it is to get this sort of wisdom into your heart before calamity strikes, before God intervenes in a situation in a way that you don't expect? Often, when God is up to something really good, things get worse before they get better. And without the Word of God, without the wisdom of God in your heart, you'll have no idea that God is on your side. So don't be surprised, don't be alarmed when he acts in a way that you don't expect. Now, while sometimes God intervenes in our turmoil to bring peace, other times he has something different in mind. Have you ever found yourself in a situation of uncertainty, of turmoil or conflict or fear, and no matter how much you pray, God hasn't stepped in to change your situation? It's unsettling, isn't it? Because we're left wondering, well, is God ever going to show up? Does God even care? But you see, while sometimes God calms the storm, other times he allows it to rage on so that he can calm your heart instead. Because having victory in the midst of turmoil is a beautiful gift that he wants you to have. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a nice theory, I guess, but it becomes so much more than a theory when you realize that the Apostle Paul wrote those words chained to a Roman guard in a dungeon awaiting execution. Now, all of a sudden, it becomes a shining light, a beacon, if you will, in your dungeon and mine when we're going through tumultuous times. Joy in the face of suffering is victory. Peace, which surpasses all understanding in the face of a death sentence, is victory. It's the same peace that Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane after he prayed. And it's the very same peace that God wants you to have in the midst of your turmoil and trials. In many cases, we will never know or understand, or at least in this life, why God allows us to suffer and another person to be delivered, or why last time he delivered us quickly, whilst this time it seems to be going on and on. When Job asked God those questions from the midst of his suffering, God replied pretty firmly by saying, well, actually, Job, it's none of your business. God is, after all, God. But I can tell you this, that God does want you to have victory in the midst of your turmoil. It's a piece of wisdom that the Holy Spirit will tuck away in your heart and pull out the next time you need it. so that instead of worrying and fretting, you go to him with thanksgiving in your heart, right in the middle of all the turmoil, pour out your heart to him and receive the promise of a peace beyond all understanding, a peace that in natural terms doesn't make sense, a supernatural peace that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What a gift. And by the Spirit, it's a gift that has been written on your heart today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days. And as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen? So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, He's always up to something good in our lives. It's so easy when we're going through turmoil to lose sight of the big picture, to lose sight of the eternal picture. And that eternal picture, if we can just grasp it in our hearts, can change the way we feel about today, the way we handle turmoil and stress, and indeed, the whole way that we live our lives. Because God has such an amazing future plan for you and for me. It's a future that Jesus died to purchase for us on that cross. It's a future that He rose again to give us so that we could have the gift of eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 58. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You see, the eternal future that's coming your way is meant to make a powerful difference to the way that you live your life now. Therefore, be steadfast and immovable. Therefore, because of the eternity that's coming your way, excel in the work of the Lord, because you know that it's not in vain. Death will be swallowed up. The sting of death will be gone because of the victory that you have through your faith in Jesus Christ. It's free. It's available here and now, and it's a victory that will impact your life from this day forward. It's so incredibly sad that so many people worry about their futures when, in fact, in Christ, their future is absolutely secure. So many people believe in Jesus. They believe that they're saved, yet they don't let that faith impact the certainty with which they live their lives, the hope with which they can live, the power with which they can live, the joy with which they can live. Friend, if you believe in Jesus, you have such a future ready and waiting for you today. Live your life in that future. Live your life with that future in mind. Live your life with the certainty of that future filling your heart. Because when you shed this earthly body of sickness and sin, you will put on eternal imperishability and spend that eternity in the presence of the living God forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. And God, through that future, wants to radically transform your life today so that you can live your life in the victory that Jesus purchased for you. That, my friend, is the big picture. This Christianity Works program is sharing the powerful, practical Word of God with so many people in over 160 countries around the world. But that's only made possible through the generous support of friends just like you. Each dollar that you give today will grow to reach nearly 3,000 people with a gospel message. Incredible! That means that a gift today of just $35 can touch over 100,000 people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to give a generous tax-deductible gift of support to Christianity Works today, securely online at christianityworks.com or by calling 1-300-722-415. And when you do get in touch, two things. Firstly, don't forget to request your free copy of that life application booklet that I've been telling you about. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Secondly, we would love to pray for you, absolutely. Just click on the powerful prayer tile at the bottom of the homepage. Again, that's all at christianityworks.com or give us a call toll free on 1-300-722-415. Hey, thank you so much for your support and for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.